Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we who have seen thy grace and love, bring to thee our hearts, thanks, and praise. As we dedicate our hearts and minds in this hour of worship, as we dedicate this hour to thy praise and this day, we bring ourselves unto thy feet for learning, as we have learned so many times, as a living sacrifice. Lord, we pray that thou would teach us and help us to see thee who thou art, to love and cherish thee, and to believe upon thee, finding rest for our souls. So we pray that thou would bless our time together, from the youngest to the oldest, be in our presence, for we need thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 17.
Bratje naše, da se čita iz Staroga Zaveta iz druge knjige Mojsijeve. Druga knjige Mojsijeva, 17. glava.
And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smitest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said it to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But when Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The account that we have before us is one of the passages that takes place while Israel is on their way from Egypt, where they left slavery. They're on their way to Mount Sinai to receive the law. They had just passed through the Red Sea by God's provision, saving them from Pharaoh's army. They were without meat and without water, and God provided them quail. God provided them manna. And here God provides them water. And despite all that God had provided them, all of the things that they could have seen with their eyes as evidence of the truth of God, they still had in their question, in their hearts, this question, is the Lord among us or not? An evil heart of unbelief was a stubborn enemy to the soul of this people, bringing up questions over and over, not being satisfied. What is God to do? Moses didn't know what to do. So he asked the Lord, what should I do with a people that is so stubborn, whose mouth is so froward? To take your rod and use it to provide for them. Lord provided them water to a stubborn and disobedient people. As the brother prayed that we would have the water of life shared with us, this tells us about God and tells us about Jesus Christ. He has been sent to provide salvation and a way of peace and forgiveness to those who have been disobedient, those who have rebelled against him, those who have questioned him. He came to be that water of life. When people took from him, he gave more. When people spoke words of ridicule to him, he spoke words of peace. When people left his company, he gave them the freedom to make that choice. But he still opened up his arms. In love and compassion. And he opened up his mouth to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And then, second part of this chapter, we read of Amalek, who's a tribe, a nation, that comes to Israel and attacks them. This is their first military experience as a nation. And they win. And Moses is commanded to write down what happened, to remind Joshua what took place in this day. Because this is going to be very personal for Joshua in his life of faith. An unprepared, an unable young man, relatively young, who won a battle, who didn't have an army until the men were chosen, whose people were disorganized, who were not rallying each other around a common purpose, but were dividing each other through murmuring. They were complaining. They were facing lack of food at some times and lack of water in the previous days. These are not a people that are primed and ready to fight. And Joshua, inexperienced, his first battle, what is he going to do? And Moses, an old man who cannot barely keep his arms up to pray. Joshua needed to remember this. And God had Moses write it down in a book. There's something that happened in this battle that he had to remember and that he would take with him. It meant so much to his personal faith and his decisions future in his life. Amalek was one of the tribes that Joshua and Caleb and the 10 other spies that went into the land of Israel, they said, these are some of the people that are there. Joshua needed to remember what the Lord could do at this time, so that when he went into another experience to spy out the land and give a report to the people and say, what are they going to do? Are they going to pursue? Are they going to go and trust in the Lord? He came back with a testimony. These people are there, but the Lord will give the victory. The Word of God gives us important reminders for young men and young women, old women and older men, to teach us and to instruct us in our walk of faith. What do you know of the Lord and the battles that you have faced? Have you found Him faithful? Do you know Him as that water that provides? Do you know that sort of love and faithfulness that Jesus demonstrated? Do you know Him, and is He yours? Then you will be able to go into uncharted territories with faith, knowing that God will provide, and be faithful to Him despite what 10 of your friends might say, despite what the nation might say, and all the people and all the messages around you. The Lord knew that this was important for Joshua to remember what took place. The Lord knows that it's important for us to remember His Word, to rehearse it within our ears, within our memory, time and time again, so that when the test comes that will determine which way will the nation go, will they go and follow in God's plan? Which way will the family go? Which way will the church go? Will they follow in God's Word, or will they wander aimlessly for another 40 years until another generation can come? That's a big deal. That's like a watershed. It's a place where the water falls, and depending on which side of the hill it falls, it either goes, here it would be go to Lake Erie or to the Ohio River, completely different destinations. But that one point of decision that hinges upon our understanding of the Word of God, our faith that is built up in Jesus Christ, and our love for the Lord, that is preparing us for us to land on that spot and for our decision to choose our destiny. And so it had very strong personal meaning to Joshua. And the Lord knew it. Moses also built an altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. It's a Hebrew name for God. The Serbian Bible, it translates it, the Lord my banner. Moses took some time in the quietness after this battle to ask himself the question, what just happened here? Do you take the time to reflect upon your life and ask, why are you here and how did you get to this point? Many times when an army wins a battle, they have a parade, and they exalt the commander that won the battle. Moses could celebrate Joshua and his fearless victory, but he was an inexperienced soldier. The people were not prepared. They were not ready. Moses himself grew weary in prayer. What is happening? There is a Lord God that made this victory possible. Somehow the Lord saw fit that you'd be here this morning to hear about Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers. You're not here to learn about history. You're not here to get educated. You're here to be called to embrace faith in Jesus Christ and to say these words yourself. The Lord is my banner. My fight. My struggle is under his flag. The temptations and the enemy of my soul, that he brings temptations, he brings deception, he brings false promises, that is God's fight. He is fighting light against darkness. He's calling me to be a participant. Amalek is a nation that God says will never make peace with the children of God. Do you have a battle like that? You have an enemy, enemy of your soul. And he shoots his fiery darts of temptation at you. The child of God can never make peace with sin. That is a battle that will rage. There are no treaties, there are no truces. There's a victor and there's a loser. And only victory can come through Jesus Christ. There's no experience that you can amass or credit with God that will allow you to win in this fight. Moses realized this, and he saw the Lord as his banner, banner of the children of Israel. I imagine that he looked over the people who he was so frustrated with and who gave him such a hard time. He looked at Joshua. He looked at himself. He looked at life. He took his eyes off of the entertainment that he could have experienced in Egypt. And he looked at life and where God was leading him, where he had ended up, why he was there, and how he could possibly even be alive at that moment. And he probably asked himself the question, what is man that God is mindful of him? Who am I that God would choose to set his love and give me mercy, that I would have another day, my heart would beat one more time, that I would have one more breath, that I would have one more chance to repent and to see what he has provided, that my eyes would be open to the call of faith in Jesus Christ, and that I would realize what he's done. In Isaiah, the prophet writes, to a people who are about to be scattered through captivity, and he tells them not to be afraid. He speaks of God's faithfulness to his people as they are about to go into captivity. He tells them that you're about to go into the fire, but the flame will not catch you. You are about to go into the rivers of water, but you will not be submerged. And as his own, he says, you are mine. Why is God so merciful? Why is God so compassionate? Why is God so patient with you and me? The Lord wants us to see it for ourselves. The Lord wants to recognize, us to recognize how unworthy we are, how far we've fallen short. And yet, God, in his mercy and his love, is willing to call us his own, a precious possession, to be redeemed, to be bought back, to find healing. The word teaches us of another banner in Isaiah. And it points to Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 11, he writes, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign, an insignia, a flag, a banner. An ensign to the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. This is speaking of Jesus Christ, who was raised up, who was lifted up upon a cross to demonstrate the love of God and show us the way. He's given us so much. And he who has given us so much calls us that we would make him our banner, that we would be part of his kingdom, that we would participate in the spiritual warfare that is before us, not through our own strength, because as these Israelites saw, they were no match, but only through the help of the Lord. Only through looking at the Word, understanding what it says, and being willing to be committed and do as it says, to follow like a soldier in the battle that follows the flag, that follows that standard, that banner, that is something that brings the soldiers together, that they have in common, that they're following. It reminds us, on our own, we are nothing. We're so nothing. But that the Lord would be everything for us. Lord would be worthy. Lord would be lifted up in praise and adoration. Lord would be lifted up in obedience in every area of our life. You know, we may not be fighting a physical battle over boundaries or land areas, but what are the battles of importance to you? Is the Lord the banner over my battle for my time? We all understand and know that there is a struggle for our time. And it's God's right to claim our time. He's given it to us. And so in that battle, in that struggle, do we see the Lord as high and lifted up? Do we see him as worthy, as dedicating our time? Or do we give up the fight to a small piece of electronics in our pocket, or to business, or to whatever thing Satan would call us to, that we would not redeem on the time? We would give up the fight. Relationships are important. Our connections with people. Is the Lord the banner that flies high over the relationships in our lives? Is he the one that we find peace and contentment with when we are alone? And is he the one that we depend upon for guidance in choosing the relationships that we embrace in purity? Relationships and actions that are consistent with what Jesus said, that we are to be salt and light in this world. There are other kinds of relationships. Relationship between one who is testifying of Jesus Christ and yet offends a little one through negligence, through disobedience, through saying, well, Jesus says this, but you know, it's not that important. And in carelessness, we stir confusion. Those are relationships. We need to be armed in these battles. That will determine how we transmit our faith and our values to those around us. Isn't it important how you're seen? Isn't it important what ripple effects your life has on the world around you? Is there any influence that you would like to have? What will be the way that you transmit your faith to the next generation? Will it be a testimony of taking the word and its literal interpretation, the commandments of Jesus Christ, and simply following them in obedience and love, in trust and dependence upon the Lord for his guidance each and every day? Or do we just kind of go through the motions and kind of come and go and in carelessness? And not really give someone who is coming up something strong to hold on to as an example in the faith? Because there are casualties. There's costs, like Jesus said, those little ones, and even our own souls also. For a little slumbering and a little complacency in the battle of the Lord, there are great consequences. How can we be prepared? The Word of God, we look into New Testament to illuminate our understanding of the Old we look into Ephesians chapter 5 that speaks, rather, Galatians chapter 5. It speaks of the fruit of the Spirit and the fruits and the works of the flesh. It speaks to, of our battles. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. There is a battle between flesh and spirit. Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 teaches us about this battle, that it's not against flesh and blood. But he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he goes on to list the armor of God on the right hand and on the left. He speaks of the shield of faith that we are to take. He speaks of the word of God, which is that sword of the Spirit. And then 1 John chapter 2. He writes, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Joshua was to choose out men for the battle. He did not pick Moses because he was old. He did not pick the elders and the old people to fight the battle. He did not pick the children because they were little and they weren't strong. I have written unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. If Amalek typifies the battle and struggle against the flesh and against sin, an enemy that we cannot sign a peace treaty with, this word says that we must overcome. Through Jesus Christ and through his word, we must overcome that enemy. We must not sign a peace treaty with sin. How do we overcome? Am I a young man or am I a youth? Youth is fun. It's enjoyable. It's comfortable because mommy and daddy take care of me. But that's not the progression of development within the Christian life that is expected. There is an intention for growth. Young men, because you are strong. How do you know a young man is strong? You know when the young man is strong. When he's at the bench and he's got 245s on the bar and then he says, add more. Add more. He demonstrates his strength. You can see in the way that he works. Now, are you demonstrating the strength and the energies that we have available to us and the resources in a spiritual purpose? How does he know that they're strong? Because they're active. Because they're laboring in God's vineyard. Because they're working for the Lord. How did they get strong? The word of God abideth in you. This is how a young man will cleanse his way, by heeding unto the word and following it. The word of God abides in you. Joshua was taught, and it was rehearsed in his mind day after day. The Lord won the victory. Believe in him. Trust in him. Do not be afraid of the enemy of your soul and the enemies that are around you. They are no match for Jehovah, your banner. They were no match for Jesus as he won the victory upon the cross and through the empty tomb. The Word of God now must abide in us. It must be living within us. Just as the vine provides nourishing supplement to the branches to produce fruit, that nourishment must be in us. And that's the Word. To love the Word and what he has said. To know and read how he loves and cares for his own. How he calls us his own. The Word of God abides in you. The Word of God is at home in my heart and in my life. The Word of God is at home in my heart and my life. It's a welcome word. That is how we find strength in the battle of the soul. And ye have overcome the wicked one. There is victory, but only in the camp of Jesus Christ and in obedience to his word. When the children of Israel disobeyed, they fell flat on their face. God is teaching these complaining Israelites a lesson as well. They can trust in him. They can follow him. He teaches us a lesson. Who know of his great love, and who asks of us, make me your focus, make me your everything, make me your banner. Place me at the center of the battle of temptation that you are facing, and look up to me. Lift me up high with praise and adoration and love and respect. May the Lord give us grace. May the Lord teach us how to make this our own. In the Serbian, the words are very beautiful. Gospodin zasveta moja. The last word is mine. God has invited you to be his, and he's willing to embrace you. Now, yes, make him your own. Make him, say, he is mine. He owns me. I own him. We are one. And this is how we walk. May God bless his word.
As we have been encouraged this day, as we have read out of this book that Moses had written, and we see that the Lord told Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. And so we know that Joshua then took over for Moses when Moses passed away. And then so Joshua wrote also in a book, and here's what he said. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, thy servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, and thou shalt, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, and neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. This was the encouragement that Joshua was given, and may we too be encouraged from the word which we have had today And may God bless it according to his will. Amen.